Broadcasting to you from the other side, by which I mean the other side of Sheffield. This is Two Men and a Ghost.
Okay, we're this is our second podcast.
Yes.
And we thought rather than nearly get arrested down the side of a road, we thought we'd
get arrested in the city centre.
Exactly. We thought we'd walk along Sheffield on a Tuesday night and just explore the fact that even within a mile radius, there's all these possibilities for seeking out haunted locations.
Absolutely. We're in a part of Sheffield that is called West Street. Now, West Street is presently is known for a lot of nightclubs, bars, restaurants, areas where you can very easily get run over by buses and trams.
Even in the first minute of this podcast, we've walked three paths, haven't we?
So absolutely.
Subway.
It's a real trick of survival, trying to dodge the transportation around here.
Yeah.
But one of the interesting things around here is there was actually a bar called Scruffy Murphy's.
Yeah. Well, I believe it when I see it. Because I've walked down here loads of times. I don't remember a bar called Scruffy Murphy.
Now, I remember going to school with somebody called Scruffy Murphy, but that's another story, and it's a long time ago. Basically, what makes Scruffy Murphy's interesting is that going back a long time ago, it was actually called the Mail Coach Inn.
The Mail Coach Inn.
Indeed. One of the problems is that because there was actually a number of mail coach inns, so yeah. The problem is always wanting to know, are you actually eating onto the right one? But however, it, by all accounts and by checking into it, this could be the place. Mail Coach Inn. I discovered that with a lot of places around here, they always have the same story, and that is most tend to be influenced or haunted by such infamous characters as Dick Turpin.
Oh.
There's very few pubs in this region that weren't haunted once by Dick Turpin.
Really?
Maybe what they're trying to say is that...
What, even a Wetherspoons?
I don't know. Maybe that's where it comes from, having his favourite aunts. Maybe they were talking about him before he actually died.
Oh.
But the great thing about this place is that, going back a long time ago, most places like... we're going to have to cut through a big crowd here.
Yeah.
If I squeeze around here...
But
really nice bike there.
This is West Street Live. It's very busy.
Most places around here would have at one time had actually got a well. Now, the Mail Coach Inn, or now Scruffy Murphy's, the well was obviously a long, long time ago, all in the cellar. It was bricked up, covered up safely.
Yeah.
But as far back as 1979, two divers from Blackpool, they came over to Sheffield because it was suggested that someone as infamous as perhaps Turpin had actually stashed away some of the loot that he had stolen. Now, whether or not that was ever recovered, I don't know.
Are you making this all up?
No. I tell you, as sure as I own two fedoras, this is the truth.
Right.
But...
Well, no, you only own one, so it's a half-truth.
But the interesting thing about it is that, although, from a ghost point of view, going back to around 1981, in fact, what happened was that when something obviously started this off, but I don't really know what, a situation occurred whereby a sighting of a guy, now this is going to sound really weird because I'm actually dressed like this right now, a guy wearing a flat cap and a long coat was seen.
Are you Scruffy Murphy?
By 10 points, who is this man? He was actually seen in the pub area, and he would walk from one particular point and go through where the gents' loser. When they checked into this, apparently, going back a long time ago, that area used to be originally the stables.
Right.
So, consequently, it is suggested that perhaps whoever that apparition belonged to was of somebody who maybe worked or was involved with the stables of that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea.
Mike, this is a great story, and I'll believe it if we come across a pub called Scruffy Murphy's, because we've just walked nearly from one end of West Street to the other. So, I'm glad you told it. But,
thank you. Well, I think with a lot of these
things... Scruffy Murphy's became Tesco Express.
I think the problem with these situations is, as I say, it's like with the mail coach inn.
Yeah.
There was at one time a lot of mail coach inns, so you don't really know. A lot of things are alleged. You don't know if you're heading on to the correct place when you're touching something like this. What we can say, though, is with a lot of bars and a lot of the old pubs that have been redone, there have been stories of certain things going on, certain sightings. So
whatever pub you go to in Sheffield, it's haunted by Dick Turpin.
Well, at the end of the day, depending on how much you drink, you'd believe anything anyway. Yes.
Are you giving it away now?
Sorry about that. Just kill the illusion. Wasn't intended. The thing is, though, with Sheffield, is that it's like with any city. It's England's fourth largest city.
Yeah.
And it's like with anything like this, you're building on top of history, you're building on top of different situations.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what the things that you're looking at, what it's actually covering, what is your surrounding.
Speaking of history...
I was terrible at history.
I was told that in a club in West Street,
yes,
that's where Phil Oakey of the Human League found those two women. Who ended up in the Human League? It was on West Street.
Well, I mean, Human League, like, you get many
great... He was probably looking for Dick Turpin.
And he probably ended up in Scruffy Murphy's.
That's right.
Now, we're lost. Is it that we go
way? Yeah, we're heading towards the cathedral.
Right. I tell you what I do like at the moment. I don't know if you've been on it yourself, but have you been... You've been on the big wheel.
Yeah.
Which is
finishing soon.
Really?
Yeah, in October I think it comes down.
Are you joking? Oh, that is sad, is that? I've really enjoyed going on that.
Yeah.
I know my little lad, he's really enjoyed going on it.
Brilliant.
The only thing I tend to find bothers me is when you get to the stage, because obviously I don't know how high it is, but it is very high.
Yeah.
Where it decides to stop at the very top.
Yeah, I don't like it when it's not moving.
No. Or you're sitting there, and because of the wind, it's, well, depends what you've eaten, of course, it's starting to sway. So that is a little bit, a little bit worrying.
So no curry or baked beans.
Absolutely. They should have a sign outside saying, to go on this, no flatulence, anything like that.
Yeah.
Should we explain to our listeners where we are and...
Well, we're walking past towards Vicar Lane, and
see any vicars?
Neck, there's Dick Turpin. Oh, no, it's a bush.
No, it's a vicar.
Right.
Speaking of which, she never really made much of that new album, did she?
Who's that?
Kate Bush.
Oh, Kate Bush.
Yeah,
I love that.
I love Kate Bush, but I was disappointed. I wanted to hear much more. I've been a big Kate Bush fan for a long time, but... When she got into like Hibernation for a time.
Yeah, 12 years.
And then she brought out this really great album.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to hear a lot of it.
And then she disappeared again.
Exactly. So
I think she's in Scruffy Murphy's.
With Dick Turpin.
I think so.
Good grief. And a vicar.
And
it's amazing, how everything really links with each other. You know, it's fantastic.
I tell you, it's proof.
Exactly.
We're onto something.
Speaking of onto something...
Now, we're now on the courtyard that's in front of the cathedral. So we're right in the heart of Sheffield.
This is a nice part, this, actually.
It is, yeah.
I'm just walking through a tree.
Just for the fun of it.
Exactly. Now, what's interesting about here, actually, is we're not very, very far away from the offices for the Star, Sheffield Star newspaper.
Yeah, when we get there, we'll go down the street and just
stand
outside.
That would be good. That would be good, because the we've certainly got to, it's only courtesy to give those lovely people a plug on our podcast, because
well, they've plugged us, haven't they?
They've been really gracious, particularly good old Martin.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been really helpful, really gracious many, many times regarding what we're doing.
Well, that's the creeping over, so dish the dirt.
Okay, thank you. Right, now, here's the real story. Send your checks to us and we'll tell you more. sorry about that, Martin.
McDonald's.
At a farm. Is it amazing how it's a lot quieter?
Well, there's no clubs here.
No, yeah, it's true.
There's no one hanging out outside the cathedral.
No, it's absolutely true. It's mind you, though, you might get a big rush of vicars. You know, I mean, like, I know about 11 o'clock, and it's often been said, if you're standing around outside the cathedral, suddenly you could get killed in a crush.
Really?
The turf them all out.
Gosh.
And they've got one guy who's dressed like
a
bishop.
Don't they have lock-ins?
Well, he's dressed like a bishop.
Yeah.
And he's like a bouncer.
Oh, listen, don't bash him.
But he's called the bouncing bishop.
Oh.
And he throws them all out and says, come on, guys, off you go, you know. And he throws them all out.
And he waves his crook at them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. Right.
We're now veering away from the main road. We're going down this tiny road. There's offices with lights on. It's 20 to 10 at night, but there's a banner saying The Star, which is the Sheffield Star, the local newspaper.
Sorry.
And I can hear someone whistling.
I never heard anything. Now, he fell over. Sorry about that.
Shall we... here we go, we're crossing. So we're now standing outside the reception of the Sheffield Star.
Right. Now, what I've always loved, provincial newspapers, I don't know about you, I love them because...
What, the classifieds?
Well, I started off in my job doing dailies for provincial newspapers.
Yeah.
And I just love the entire thing
about... Doing cartoon strips.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I love them.
The Bradford TNA.
This place is interesting on the grounds that apparently the new offices opened back in, I think it was around 1994.
Right.
Where they moved into these, into the new section for them. But what happened was that they didn't realise that there was already someone dwelling in this place. Strange from the beyond.
Kate Bush?
Yeah. I still wish you'd have done more with the album. But what happened was that it got really serious. They got things like mirrors that were just dropping off walls.
Right.
A bit like a show home on some of these estates, I suppose,
yeah.
But still. What happened was that things would be falling, and also in certain parts of the building, they would complain, saying that this really strange smell. Somebody described it as like rotting vegetation, but there was no evidence to show that there was anything there to cause the smell.
Now, listen, you could just be making this up, but
no,
where have you got this from?
No, I swear, honestly, in last week's copy of the Bean... Oh, didn't mean to say that bit. Are we still recording? Oh, dear. But no, truly, what happened was that they decided to... It got so serious, and there were certain things that they could see happening here, that they decided to bring in a guy who was a psychic.
Crumbs.
Now, checking into history, and as you know, I love to check into the history aspect of any building. I think that's really where you get your real answers.
Well, that's what
from.
You did with the library, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think it is important.
Yeah.
Because what happened was that the...
Because you believe the history of a building...
Yes.
...shapes the feeling it has now.
Well, it does, because you see, all what you're doing with a building, let's face it, is all you're going to do with a building is you add in... When a company take it over, they're wanting to leave their mark on it, understandably. But what they're actually doing is just covering up the cracks and covering up... I don't mean literally, of course, but they're covering up parts of history, and you don't know what's there until you start to dig into it. once they brought a psychic in, there were two things that came out of it. The first thing was that he was getting the strong image, he said, of an elderly man. And he described this guy as small, but wearing, and this was a unique thing, wearing like half moon glasses or half rim glasses. I'm not sure which is the correct term.
Is it Les Dawson?
We're going to get all the mother-in-law jokes soon.
is he the Les Dawson or Fred Dibner?
But what happened was that once they dig into the history, that it turned out that 30 years previous to them taking this building over, there was actually a company that was called Wilfred Lyons that was established back in 1895. And what it was a tailor's that was actually came out of the Savile Row area. It seemed to make sense that one of the people who worked with Wilfred Lyons, they talked about his description, and they came across old photographs, and he actually matched up to the old photograph.
Wow.
The other thing...
But what about the smell of rotting vegetables?
It could have been the sandwiches.
Oh, right.
You never know. Well, you know it's like vegetarians
cucumber
as well.
Cucumber sandwiches.
Vegetarians, wind. There we go again.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's proof.
The other thing that actually, and this bit surprised me, concerned people much more, was that there was actually the apparition of a young girl. People judged her to between the age of about 8 to perhaps 10.
Yikes.
And that was a small blonde girl roaming around in the basement area. And people were so concerned and worried that you actually got people who would not go downstairs for fear of sighting this apparition. Who knows? At the end of the day, one has to say what one person says that it is alleged. Another person will say, no, it was a fact. And I think where two men and ghosts drift is in between those two points of view.
Yes.
We say, somebody said it, I believe him. We haven't seen it, but it doesn't mean to say it does not exist. And that's why we are two men and a ghost.
Yeah, I'm just in it for the fun.
Well,
when are we going to start having fun?
Right now.
Ta-da! Well, there's McDonald's. Shall we head to... You want to go to the Roxy, which is now the O2 Academy, so...
Yes, let us put our best foot forward.
Yeah, I don't know which one that is.
No. Do you know, why do they always say that? What is your best foot?
I don't know.
Which is your best foot anyway? Isn't that based on whether you're left or right footed?
Do you have a preference?
Well, it just depends. Although, I tell you what I used to enjoy. Do you remember when Rolf Harris did Jake the Peg?
Jake the Peg.
That was great, was that?
With his extra leg diddle-diddle-diddling.
I'm Jake the Peg diddle-diddle-diddling. With me extra leg diddle-diddle-diddling. Wherever I go, you people always... Something about rain and snow, I think it went on there. Amazing how we went to work with animals as well afterwards, isn't it?
No, I liked his cartoon tone.
And he always... I love Rolf Harris. I think it's fantastic.
And his didgeridoo?
Yes. The only problem I found with Rolf Harris is that he personally didn't do me...
Sorry, I think Mike might have strayed just there. Right, we're back again.
He didn't...
The McDonald's is closed!
Oh, my God.
Well...
Now, I wonder why.
Dick Turpin wanted some McNuggets.
Do you think, really, it's a sign that there's something spooky going on in Sheffield? I mean, it's a bad sign. When they get rid of McDonald's, you know, something is afoot.
Yeah. I was sad when all the Wimpy's closed down.
Do you know, I haven't actually seen a Wimpy's for years.
Oh, they did great milkshakes.
Well, I haven't been in places like McDonald's for a long time. Actually, we could cut that way and then round the side.
Yeah.
That'd be quieter. I haven't been there for ages. The only time I used to go in McDonald's, actually, was at a time when I still ate fish. And I used to have these fish...
Was it the fillet of fish?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, that was good. But I stopped eating fish years ago.
Right.
So, that was that. So, no real reason to go back in.
That was interesting.
I know, that was a little kind of...
A factoid.
A little factoid, wasn't
Mike
it?
Mike used to eat fish.
And no longer does.
Ta-da!
Now, of course, as we move through the back streets of Sheffield...
We're passing the NSPCC.
Ooh, that's
And
painful.
The Cutlass Hotel.
Ooh.
You can only go there if you're a cutler.
Yeah, or have cutlass. Ahar! Ew, I've got my cutlass with me.
Pieces of eight.
I'm moving as I heard this hotel. Sorry about that. Where my parrot be? Sorry about that.
We're not on the main road.
Me too, actually. Would have been run up. Hey, what are you talking about? We saw somebody dressed as a pirate, actually. They walked past us.
Well, there must have been a theme night for one of the clubs.
Yeah, but you... When we did our last podcast... Now, let's remember... When the police came...
I thought it was
a theme night.
You thought it was a theme night where they were dressed as coppers.
Precisely. Now, yet...
And yet the real policemen seemed to know who they were.
Right. Now, what is this to say that it's not a theme night, that those people were real pirates?
Now, there's a thought. It's actually good to know you're applying the same logic to this.
Yes.
As you do with the ghost hunting.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, let's face it. You know what I mean? Logic was my middle name.
And what is it now?
Yeah. You don't want to go into that.
Now, this is tempting because we're crossing the road towards what used to be the Roxy, but there's a big enticing sign to the Mecca Bingo. So yeah. What should we do?
Oh, we can cross.
Ah.
Now, bingo has changed so much down the years.
Right.
When I was a little boy, I was brought up from the age of 4 to 11 in social clubs. And one of the jobs I had for a few shillings for the weekend's work was, in those days, bingo cards were made out of board.
Right.
And what they used to do is...
So it wasn't throwaway paper?
Absolutely not. No, it was high-tech when it got to that stage. No, what they did was they had these boards, and to cover the numbers up, you used to put beer bottle tops.
Right.
And what happened was that as a child, I used to have to go around with a bag full of beer bottle tops and scoop them up and put so many on a table.
Right.
But I think they banned certain things like... In those days, there used to be certain call-out names and call-out words, like Two Little Ducks 22.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore, apparently.
Can't you?
No, apparently that's gone.
Oh.
Right.
Well, we're standing underneath... Actually, sod that. I want to hear more about bingo.
Well, actually, what was really good about it is that... apart from handing out the little things on, the beer bottle tops, sometimes they used to have various club acts as well, and they had some great acts like...
Well, you see, I'm watching all the old wheel tappers and shunters.
It was just like it.
Was it? Right.
It was absolutely just like it. I mean,
everyone did a turn?
Absolutely. They come on and say, right, for the next turn, and I remember some of them. One was called Roy Moore and the Mighty Atom. Roy Moore and the Mighty Atom consisted of this very small man who was very, very skinny, and the Mighty Atom was his wife, who was like the size of a globe, and they did a song and dance.
Brilliant.
But in those days, also, you did a lot of acts who were mime artists, and it was quite boring, really, but still. They would come on, and they would put a record player on the stage, and they may be put on, say, Elvis Presley, Matt Monroe, and whilst the record was playing, they would mime to it. And afterwards, people would applaud and say, won't he grand? Didn't he sound like Elvis Presley? And I'd be thinking, but it was Elvis Presley because we just listened to the damn record.
You see, but now they've got Britain's Got Talent and they don't know they're born.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't believe they mime, do you?
No!
No!
It's real, authentic talent.
Absolutely. Anyway.
So we're standing in front of what's now the O2 Academy.
Right.
I nearly went to see Blondie here a few weeks ago, but then...
Really?
Yeah, Blondie were here a few weeks
fantastic.
Ago. Except Debbie Harry's not blonde anymore. She's a redhead.
Right. So she's just called Reddy.
Reddy, yeah. They changed the name.
Really?
And the support act was called Breck. So...
Really?
Yeah, on the poster it was Reddy Breck.
Fantastic.
There we go.
I fell for that one, didn't I? I walked right into that one.
And it wasn't even worth it.
Normally my sharp wit and intellect would say, don't walk into that one, but...
So we've got posters in front of us for Skunker Nancy, and Goldie Looking Chain and the Charlatans. But you've got stories about this place before it was a concert venue.
Well, interesting tale actually about here. The person who once owned this was a guy called Barry Noble. He was a local character, very, very well known as well, quite a character. But the interesting thing is that after Barry died, this was, we're talking like the sometime in the 80s, the story goes that one day, or one evening, one guy who worked here was like an ex-doorman or odd-job man. He was asked to go and to check out the lighting rig. Now, when he was climbing up the ladder to get into this area, he suddenly freaked because he found there in front of him, there was a pint of beer and a cigarette, partly smoking, and the smoke was still drifting into the atmosphere.
Like Dick Turpin?
It could well have been, or a vicar. Or Kate Bush. So, what happens is... what happens is that he comes down the ladder really quickly, goes to have a word with somebody, and he says, I thought I was the only one doing this job. And they said, you are. And he said, well, just a minute, there's a pint of beer up there and a cig. And the guy said, ah, I know what it is. He said, it'll be Barry. What had happened was that apparently when this person lived, he would have this particular area up there. He was very fond, and I say this in all respect, shall we say, of the fairer sex. So consequently, as a result...
He was a womanizer.
Absolutely. A bit like Dick Turpin.
Yeah.
Or was he a vegetarian like Dick Turnip?
Oh, dear.
Da-dun. Well, what happened was that... everyone went... So what happened was that other people started to experience things that they didn't realise at the time was like paranormal encounters.
So Barry was still hanging out?
He was hanging out, but he was not just hanging out. He was bottom packing. Patting, I should say.
I beg your pardon?
He was bottom patting. Seriously?
No, listen, this sounds like some workers just using him as an excuse.
No, I tell you the truth. What happened was that, you see, when he was alive...
So you too can get goosed by a ghost.
Goosed by a ghost. What used to happen is that when the ladies, talking years ago now, used to line up to come in, he used to greet them, and he was known for a quick pat on the bottom, apparently. Now then, even long after his death, Lot said, I've experienced somebody patting me on the bottom.
Right.
Now, they'd got a young guy who, I'm informed, was his name was Simon, to take over the job of inviting everyone in.
Yeah.
When this continued, though, this problem, he was pulled before his boss, saying, look, you can't do that to the ladies, it's wrong, etc., etc. And he swore down blind. He says, no, I'm not doing this.
He just made this up.
No, I tell you. No, honestly. So what happened was that one night... One of the ladies he was working with, she was walking in front of him, and she was having a conversation, and suddenly she felt this happen to her.
Yeah.
And when she turned round to play hell with Simon, she realised Simon was not there. He'd gone. So who did it? Now, the pats continued, but...
This sounds like the ghost of Benny Hill, or someone like...
Yeah, perhaps you can hear the Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
But even when, some years later... Now, this might interest you. Even when, some years later, when it was used for a time by St. Thomas's Church, they took it over, and ladies in the congregation apparently used to complain that in certain areas of the building, they would feel somebody pat their bottom.
Right.
And it actually happened. Now, whether or not there was a turn of
events...
This
was during a church service?
Well, either that or when they were going to the loo or whatever, right. I don't know.
And then the worship band started going...
Well, what happened was that one day, apparently the vicar or the minister who was doing the service, he came out and people heard this crack and it was a clear sound of somebody taking a real swipe on somebody's rear.
Yeah.
And it had happened to the minister. And he turned at that point and said, oh, I do apologise, ladies and gentlemen, but it is our residential ghost. And they just continued with the service.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, as I said before,
Sorry, everyone. Just interrupt the Bible study. I've just been slapped on the arse by a ghost. We'll now get back to...
Well, I think what it comes down to is, as I said...
I'm finding this so hard.
Two Men and a Ghost, always, we walk that fine line between what is...
Between rubbish and inanity.
Absolutely. We talk about things that are alleged, things that are possible, feasible, and things that sound stupid. But having said it, we have had the privilege of, on numerous occasions, encountering people who have had real...
Well, speaking of which, shall we start heading towards the library for the last bit of this?
I agree entirely.
I think we've got just enough time. So, yeah, but we'll go... Oh, dear. In America, this is called jaywalking.
It's a bad time for your back to go, isn't it?
Are you all right?
Yeah, it just made it.
Right, here we go.
Right, we can head up that way.
So we're now walking through the theatre district. Shall we do that?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Right, what are we doing?
I'm glad you know where we're going.
Oh, I never know where we're going.
So we'll finish off at Surrey Street.
Absolutely.
This has been a fascinating audio landscape tour of Sheffield City Centre.
It's been brilliant. I'm thrilled. Are you thrilled?
Yeah, and I hope you're convinced, you sceptics out there.
Yes. Shame on you if you're not. We're going up to the library. We tend to like we tend to return to this purely on the grounds that it was a time when we were in somewhere warm.
It was the winter, and it was the only place indoors that had let us in.
Is it up here?
Actually, I think it's a bit further along.
Yeah, you're quite right. It's that one in the round corner.
Yeah.
Well, quite seriously, though, the great thing about the place was that the people we interviewed. Were absolutely wonderful to get
on. Oh, they were delightful.
Absolutely brilliant to get on with. And I do believe 100% everything that they said, that they had actually seen various apparitions that they encountered and they conversed with them.
Yeah. If you want to see, we've got a three-part video that we made in the basement of Sheffield Library. So if you just go to youtube.com/and then the2mg... That's our channel, and you'll find the Sheffield Library videos.
Yes, I find... You know, I always find it really embarrassing when you say... use the term slash. It always means, like, you're dying to run to the loo.
Well, I had to do one quickly before we did this podcast. Courtesy of Wetherspoons.
Actually, it's over there.
It's over there.
I can see it.
It's proof of ghosts. They've moved the library.
Behold, Odin decrees it.
Yeah. Now you believe in the old gods, don't you?
I have a view that if you look, without going overboard on theology, that if you look in accounts like Genesis 6, they refer to...
the Nephilim.
Bless you. they refer to a race of people who were powerful and... Oh, I think it's up here.
Yeah.
God, I'm knackered. And I think what they were referring to were people who later became part of the mythology or mythologies of other races, other countries.
Yeah.
I'm out of breath. We're now on Surrey Street.
Surrey Street.
And is there an echo in here? And then... but this, I really like it on here.
There's a gallery here as well.
Yes, that used to be many years ago, of course. What I love about these wet footprints.
There's wet footprints outside the library.
The only problem is where they come from. They start nowhere and go nowhere.
And actually, these ones look like cloven hoof prints.
They do. I mean, look, they're going in... This is spooky.
They really do.
You know, this is really worrying, actually.
I'll just hold the microphone close to one of them.
Yes.
Wow.
That is scary. You know, it's either that or... It looks like a shape of a horse. Maybe a horse got caught short.
Did it, really?
Yeah, maybe a short horse.
a short horse.
I really wish I said that, because
you pulled the short
quick.
Horse.
Yeah, if you say too quick, sounds rude. No, I think what I love about this building is that at one time it was also a music hall.
Yeah.
And we thought at one point...
With people selling flowers outside. And,
absolutely, outside here.
Period costume.
You would have had people sitting out here selling the flowers. But the wonderful thing is that at one point, the people who actually work in the library, they said at one point there was this beautiful, distinct smell of flowers that was filling the inside of the building.
Mm.
And I think a lot of it we based it on was this... That is it feasible? Is it possible that you can have a window slightly open in time, even for a second, and something drifts through? It might be someone you see. It might be a sound. It might be a scent. Who knows?
Yeah, and also, if I remember rightly, there was one story of it's not just looking into the past, that the people from the past can see us.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is it. The point is that if they look at us, I mean, they said of how one lady who was walking down the stairs dressed in, like, period costume, she was interacting and conversing with people. If that is the case, why do we presume that what we're looking at is a person who has died? Could it not be feasible and possible, if we have a very open mind, that that person could be alive, but they're in their time? And what is time? Really, when you analyse it, it's just a set of numbers. We have created numbers and calendars just to help us measure our time and day. We don't know how it all relates, not really.
Gosh, that's so deep.
It is, isn't it?
I almost want to finish there.
I know, it's in fact, I feel strangely moved.
I can feel a movement.
Do you really? I mean, do you want to go back to Wetherspoons?
I think that's why I need to finish.
Yeah, I mean, shall we rush there?
Well,
okay?
We'll have to nip in very quickly.
Make sure they don't lock the door on the loo, though.
I think it was that bottle of Ribena I had.
Oh, grief. What about the beans?
Flip, don't go into that.
Right. Oh, sorry about that.
Well, we're now going to go and look into Dick Turpin, yes. At a public convenience.
And his beans and his vicar and Kate Bush.
That's right, and Phil Oakey.
We've had a lot of guests tonight.
And their cloven hooves.
Absolutely.
So, signing off, but if you want to read our blogs, and I don't know why you would,
we pay them.
We do? Oh, really?
Yeah, we send a cheque every
month.
We
have an incentive.
Everybody gets one.
One free Green Shield stamp.
Yes.
Every time you listen to 10
green
podcasts.
Bottles.
There we go.
Absolutely.
So, two men and a ghost.
Signing off.
.blogspot.com. And there you'll find links to our podcasts and our videos, and soon to have a regular feature in Haunted magazine.
Yes, which comes out on the 7th of October.
7th of October in Smith's, nationwide. It's the paranormal version of Loaded magazine.
Should be good.
I'm looking forward to it. So we'll sign off, because I'm desperate. And we look forward to our next podcast. We've been talking about it. We'll either be down a spooky country lane,
yes,
or in a pub,
yes,
or both
after a spooky lane.
Yes. So we'll talk again soon. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Special thanks to Spike Nesmith for scary voice and sound effects at the beginning of this podcast. Thanks to Ever Desireless for their atmospheric music called Assembly Line Romance. Thank you for listening. Thanks to The Lizard. And we hope to join you soon for the next eventful podcast of Two Men and a Ghost.